we got reconstruction on there. We tend to use the term recreation if it's anything, because you can't even. It's just a piece of imagination that brings one of these to being.
Well, in a sense, it's a piece of deductive logic, which I prefer, as opposed to an exercise in imagination.
Mm.
Because unless the data actually drives the thing, there's no point doing it.
Depends whether you're doing it to instruct people of a reality or just trying to create an effect.
But if you're in the world of the museum...
Oh, yes. I mean, that's...
I would go... strongly argue against that point of view, in the sense that the museum really is a kind of cathedral in our world, and it has to be, because what it's doing is presenting the past and conserving and preserving the past. And therefore, even if you never go into a bloody museum, you will find the average Joe in the street saying, "You mustn't touch our museum." As they would argue, you mustn't touch the cathedral either, because those two things are key to everything that's gone before. You know, either knock down the town hall, who gives a toss? That doesn't matter. But the museum and the cathedral or the church is critically important, even in our society. They are the main planks, if you like, of people's consciousness of what's gone before.
Mm.
And to take those away, you would then have people just flowing about in nothing. Even though they don't go and see them, that's not the point. They are there.
Mm.
And a piece of philosophy, I think, is very important.
I think that's why we all end up working there somewhere. Mm. I used to work. I escaped. So you don't, I mean, other than the, if you like, the conceptual bits we're talking about and the theoretical bit, there is, in the space we've got, there's really no structural problem that you foresee.
I cannot see any. I really can't. I mean, if I were to build that, it would be a relatively simple exercise.
Yeah. I mean, we don't want to look at diminishing the scale. We would like to lay down as much of the building full size as we've done.
Yeah, well, otherwise it would lose its point.
Yeah.
But in terms of building a structure based on that, it's not.
In technical, in purely practical terms, if could, how can we do this? I mean, obviously, what we need to do is get to an estimate of cost to build it. Would you want to supervise it, do it? How would you want that to be done? I mean, because we can think of any number of ways of getting labour, staff from the museum, or straight labour to do it, or whatever. But we'd have to think of a way that how we can construct all the payments and everything to make it happen within the space.
Well, it comes back to the first question I asked before you arrived. What exactly do you see as my role in this exercise?
I'm a designer of museum displays, exhibitions. I am not somebody who can construct an Iron Age hut. What I can say is what I needed to do in display terms, which may, at times, contradict what you want to do it or somebody else, and we'll have to come to a compromise.
Yeah.
Therefore, I need somebody to advise and probably to supervise, or to some extent supervise, how it gets constructed, because there is no point me learning somebody else's trade as to how to do it. It will take me too long, and it's a waste of the museum's money. So see, like, we're looking...
What's going through my mind, quite simply, if we can get some kind of answer to that question, then this is something that could actually be pre-built, for the sake of argument, at the ancient farm here, in terms of materials, how they fit together, where they fit together, so that we could pre-build this.
I mean, because we could set up...
And then we could actually transport the stuff on a bloody lorry.
Well, that's... I mean, in some ways, we were thinking we may well be the way it would have to do. And all we would do is, if there were a place to do that, we could almost stake out or scaffold out the roof, the structure that it's got to fit in, just to make sure that it's actually going to...
I mean, this way, you see, we'd be able to
get the timbers through the door.
Yeah.
Just little things like that.
Yeah, but I notice you bricked up this already.
The fire officer says we've got to brick that up.
Yeah. No,
That would be. I mean, that would be a concept that you could play with. And this is something that we could get to grips with, because all we would be doing is actually building the framework.
The dressing of that framework can be done once
The tarting up of it is your job.
Yes.
In that sense, yeah. All we need to do is to provide the skeletal structure. In terms of the uprights, the joining pieces as such, the horizontals, and then the angle and the timbers that go above that. And we could actually play about with feasibility as long as we work closely together. That's a possibility that you could play with.
And
that might be an answer, because at the end of the day, you're going to be pushed, because October through Easter is a very short period of time when it comes to building something from scratch. I mean, you can scratch your arse and think about this for a long time. And at the end of the day, you've still got to, A, get the trees. They've got to be all jointed. If we're going to make this as authentic as possible, then we're dealing with hundreds of man hours. Added to which, if you want it in any way seasoned, in the sense that it mustn't look fire new, well, the only way you can do that is outside. And that could be one way that we could deal with it.
I mean, if we can sort out what the cost of this thing in the budget will stand it. I mean,
what is the overall budget for this element?
I'd have to sort it all. I've
roughly.
I haven't got all the figures with me. So what I'll do is I'll get back to you and say what we've got available.
Yeah.
I can, and
what you propose, how you propose to percentage it out.
Yes. I mean, what we've got. It's all itemised. I'll have to go back and look and pull all the figures together, if you like, for all the component parts.
Yeah.
And then see where we stand and see if it's feasible. I mean, even if building it here is financially unavailable, you know, and just not attainable, I think I don't know, I mean, from my point of view, I need somebody working on the team who has expertise to say, even if we ended up, because of cost, having to fake the back part because we couldn't afford to do it with real timbers, we could only do the front part, we still want somebody who can say,
part is this shape.
Okay. This shape, those sort of joints ought to be, you know, even if they aren't jointed like that, they're made to look like they're jointed like that, because, you know, the last thing I want is yet another Iron Age, bit of theatre that looks like a gazebo. I mean, because there's so many of them about. I mean, you know, I've actually put my name to one or two of them as well, and I'm getting fed up with not having them have that look, which looks like they're right.
Well, look, I think what we ought to do now is stop this discussion, send you up to the site without me, go and look at the big house up there, spend time talking amongst yourselves, and consider what that house is all about, right? And then we'll take up again. What do you think? They said, geez, it's lunchtime. So, you know, in terms of lunch, there's a pub up the road called the Hog's Lodge. There's another one at Chalton, which is the Red Lion.
Which is better.
Oh, it's the village beyond.
Are we going for lunch?
We're going for lunch.
Why don't we all go for lunch at the Red Lion? What's your time scale?
I've got to get you back. Great deal.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to be very honest about it.
Yeah.
He's very strong-willed and extremely... He's not hands-on until he doesn't see something, until it's not going exactly the way he wanted it to go. So, but I think the hope would be that I could actually act as the person in between everybody, because I think the last thing we want is a five-way discussion to get this built. It can only be a decision made and get on with it.
Yeah.
But I think the other thing that will be very, very important is the flesh on the skeleton, not the clothes, the artifacty bits in here, but the flesh, you know, things like what does the underside of the roof look like, what materials will we require for that,
you're
talking about bark and so on.
That would be the ideal, and what we need therefore is, I'll try and draw what I've got in So you're looking at three layers of timber going up. And then you've got to have the material on top of that, which I would suggest is best on the bark. And so all you're going to see, in effect, is a tiled effect on top of these timbers of sheets of bark,
right.
Which would be, we would have to put some kind of weight above them, but that could be some kind of fire retardant blanketing.
Or those, we've used those clay pellets, you know, that are used in garden centres, because they're inert, and if you can restrain them. But obviously it won't work because we'll have them all down
because
on the floor.
All we're going to see.
But we can find we can easily find a commercial insulation matting or something.
That would be it. Or something fire retardant.
Anything
the
like
fire
that.
Fire officer off.
Yeah, that's right. We'll have to look at whether we might have to treat all the timbers, dependent on their thickness. If we're over 18 mil square section, it may not make us fireproof it. But that's something I've got to go into very quickly. And if it's oak, you probably won't, because it actually it takes so long to burn through.
Nice.
It'll be all right. It's whether it goes for surface spread or flame. But that's something. Once we've got a structure and materials, I'll have to go to the fire officer and see what they'll let us off. Otherwise, we may have to use one of these matte albi clear or whatever. The problem if we use that is it fixes the colour forever.
Excuse me. It's a
shame, because I sort of did that in the restaurant.
Yeah.
It's murder, that stuff.
Yeah.
But part of what we've been talking about is, you know, to get that
but
natural look.
So, I mean, we have to make sure that we can argue it with him.
Yeah.
You can use what's called it?
Yes, I can. But
the
thing is,
are a
film.
Borax.
And
I've done it. I've done bales of hay with it.
Yeah.
And that's fire flame proof.
Okay.
So I'd really have to find out what they'll want to let us use. If the subject is big enough, they might let us get away with it.
Oh. But all is
well. Odin's Raven's alright, it's an exhibit. Although it's timber. But this is being built new, and it depends what your fire officer is. If it's a piece of temporary display, he may let us off. If he sees it as part of the building structure, that's why I don't want it to attach it to the wall. If you don't attach it to the wall, it's only temporary display.
That's for everybody.
Yeah. We shall see. Interesting little discussion.
Not a problem when you're building an iron
edge
building.
No. No constraints. Health and safety.
Well,
don't actually now. Now you would be now.
Okay, well.
It's a structure with a pilot. Has this house over there got?
Cheers,
as long as you've got a 30 foot going to every entrance. It will be one of the first Iron Age huts built for building control and planning applications of fire officers' requirements.
Not one.
Are all yours conformed? They have to put the public in. I was going to say they must do to get the public in.
I tell you a story about the first house we ever built, which was the big one, the Pimpan house. I applied for planning permission. I had to. I counted land and all the rest of the crap that goes with it. And I submitted an isometric drawing of this thing with all the stresses and strains worked out, arguments and the rest of it. It was probably turned down by the planning officer. So I resubmitted for the section drawing and no further information at all. Other than this was a prehistoric house. Boom, that's what it looked like. And it promptly passed. I invited the planning committee around when I finished it, and this bloke was apoplectic with rage, because he said, "That won't stand up." So I said to him, "You know, if you don't deal in cylinders and cones, then clearly you don't understand how these things work." But he was apoplectic with rage that I'd actually built it based on a section drawing, because it was the only thing he understood. He thought it was going to be a rectangular barn. Hampshire County Council.
That's good architect department.
Are they? Not in my perception, they don't.
The more planning. In the architects? They're quite good on restoration of buildings.
Yep, they're all rectangular, aren't they?
Oh, and rectangular ones, yeah. Exactly.
Any fool can do that.
Punch holes in windows.
You know, trees, if you're lucky, are fundamentally straight-ish. Which is the other thing, you see. This is not going to have straight up rats.
No such thing.
That's the one thing. I hope it doesn't have. It doesn't want to look like, you know. Yeah. That's the problem with most modern representations of historic buildings of this type. They
draw it with a ruler.
Mm. I mean, I would, because it's the quickest route when you're trying to draw it.
Far too many isometric drawings of reconstructions have precisely the same constraints.
Somebody asked us if we'd do a computer-generated wireframe drawing of a building like this. And I said, no, you can't. You cannot do it because a computer will not draw. It draws actual dimensions geometrically. It can't do it. Can't draw all the buildings properly on a computer.
Yeah. But anyway, that's a proposition that could be played with. I don't know whether you like the proposition.
For my benefit, I would rather be able to come and see the structure here, look at it, think about how we're going to address it in the interim and see it developing. That makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, whatever happens, I'm sure we're not going to buy all the timbers on the island.
We've got the
transport cost anyway. So whether they're sourced here and transported, we're going to have that problem anyway.
It's not impossible that I could source that timber in this part of the world. It would cost, because there's an oak plantation I know they're thinning at just outside Newbury, which is 6 miles from here. How many have we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, how many? We're looking for 33 oak trees.
Okay.
And some spares.
Well, we're looking in terms for between 50 and 55 oak trees, because you've got the cross pieces, and then we'll be looking at a lot of ash trees in order to put the scantling on top.
Mm. Is ash a tree that you get on the island?
You'll be happy with that. I can lay my hands on ash, but I can't on fir. Or pine, rather. Scots pine is bloody difficult in this part of the
world. Unless we get it through Manx Forest.
We'll have to see what
they could provide. I think we ought to ask them.
Oh, we're getting on quite well with them at the moment. I've just got 5,000 out of them for an archaeological service. It's quite a record, really. Never been done before.
I will sit down at this. and then we'd be looking at that lot being transported, which means we'd be looking at a big lorry.
We can either put it on lorry, take the lorry right across, or the worst one, put it on a container and take it across. Mm. Yeah, put it to Southampton and take it down, whichever the cheapest route, or the most effective and sensible route. I don't think there's any problems in the shipping. We're going to have to ship most of it anyway.
But if you can ship it as a kit.
If it's been done on a set out space, flat off the building, you know the spot heights of all the buildings and where all the springings are for the roof and everything else. It's going to be so much easier to take it in, build it, tweak it if necessary, but actually, it's going to go up in days rather than weeks and months. In a space which is very difficult actually to build that sort of structure in.
It should fit together.
Yeah.
Like a jigsaw.
Mm. I mean, if that's done, that's a very nice piece of PR as well. I mean, the public love to see things like that being put together.
Yeah.
And then perhaps doing things.
Because happily, you see, we're dealing with no wall planning at all. All that is just a freestanding skeleton.
Yeah, and then we've got essentially, although they're going to be real finishes, they're decorative finishes to the structure. Yeah. We're not trying to weatherproof it or anything else. It's just purely visual. I mean, if the worst came to the worst and we can't get the bark, that is one thing. We can get cast as sheet, even as plaster sheet, and then sprayed. And that's no problem, it will look just like bark, as long as you can say, here's 10 different pieces, I like them. We'll get one of the theatrical companies to actually cast it up in sheet with webbing in it, and just lay it on the top.
Yeah.
Just have all the right qualities. So,
because getting bark stripped might be a problem in that quantity.
Well, added to which, of course, it's going to, because this has got to have an ambient temperature of, what, 65, 70 degrees?
Yeah, we've dropped the temperature in here to try and get it down, but even so, it is not exterior, it's going to be too, we can put humidity in there, but it's not going to be a normal exterior. It's not enough.
So it's going to buckle and twist and butter in no time at all.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've got to...
So that might be the right theatrical route.
But I think we still say where people can actually walk in and touch things.
We need a stack
that's
of bark.
That's got to be real.
Sheets. That's got to be real.
Yeah.
That's the double
the stuff
take.
At the back beyond the visitor reach. We can.
Yeah.
Make that up. Most things can be made to look right. Very few things can be made to feel right.
Yeah. And the feeling has got to come from the skeletal structure.
That's right. But if people walk in and thump one of these posts, they feel like...
Or better still, they've got to be able to take out their penknife.
Yeah. Somebody will,
they? And they will. Yeah. And they'll go... And it's got to go in.
Yeah.
Or it's got to go in a certain way. Well, what about lunch at the Red Lion and folks?
Yeah.
Does that sound sensible?
Yeah, my only problem is I've got no cash. It's at £6
What do you think of it anyway, these architects?
It's a mock of the elegant inside.
Oh. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm.
I've seen that wild maze of space.
Yeah.
You see, this is why I find that.
Mm.
You see, if Bursa is right, then those buildings are absolutely exciting. But when I look at that building that we've created based on the essence of London, I question Percy's interpretation.
Somebody's very successful in being very self-important with a 70-foot wide building.
Yeah. Well, not so much that. It goes up pro rata. You know, with a cone, as you know, you keep increasing it. You're in deep trouble after a bit. I mean, there's 200 trees in that building. Plus, I mean, we're talking about a healthy amount of trees to do this one.
Mm.
And you know these lorries that go along the road with the stumps on the back?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. For the guts of this.
Mm. And it's not the full thing. If you took the whole structure. It's a small copse all of its own. Just to
furnish
it.
The bloody thing. Mm. And that's before you start bugging your boat. Mm.
But that's what the evidence says.
That's what the evidence is. That's what we'll do.
Mm.
But I'd be interested to hear what you thought about the site. Mm.
I think the thing that surprised me, we were talking about, was the floor.
Yeah.
Unfinished.
Yes, because of all the descriptions are beaten earth floors and all the rest of it.
Yeah, well, the beaten earth floors and the trodden floors.
No, I know, that's what we're saying, you'd only do it where it's necessary, or you would just let it happen.
Yeah. I think 90% of it is letting it happen. The only place where I've seen it different to that is in Africa, where they actually coat the floor with jungle. And then wipe it over. And at the end of the day, it ultimately gets like a polished mahogany floor. Mm. Mm. It's quite amazing. And it's odourless. Mm. It's quite remarkable. But in most places, it's just nobody. Mm.
Well, the thing that got me was that really the structure functions as habitable space because the roof is waterproof. But it's by no means a weatherproof building. We don't keep the weather outside. It wafts in under the eaves.
Well,
helps,
you know, again, I suspect we haven't finished it. It's like everything else. I would rather fancy that those walls are finished off with bundles of straw which are then daubed so that they're tight up against the roof.
No,
so there is need space.
Right. Yeah.
I don't see that as being finished at all.
Right.
You know, one of our biggest problems was
being faced in 1981 with having to build a site in order to earn money. And therefore the infrastructure had to go in fast as it was commensurate with good science. And so we built that, but lots of things are not being finished.
Mm.
You know, it's, do you tit about with that, or do you build something else? And we had to go down the route of building something else, in the sense that roofs are what's going to attract people to come in and park with their £2.
Mm.
You know, and that works.
Not minus that nine scientific detail.
You know, they're not going to be interested whether the eaves are finished or not. But for our purposes now, yes, it should be finished.
Mm.
And it will be finished in due course, but it's hands again, time and energy and resources and all that stuff. So apologies on that particular score. Also, it's got to have doors, and one rather suspects that the doors themselves would be rather impressive things. We're even going down the idea of toying with brazen doors.
Yes, it's not the sort of structure you build and then, you know, drape a skin over the door, is it? You really want to be able to say to people, come into my house. You know, it's got that sort of, either keep out or come in, one or two.
That's right, and I think, well, all the porches in fact have double doors, and they're exactly twice as wide as they are deep every time, so that those doors are going to swing back against side walls. Which again begs all sorts of questions about those who's finding it there.
Mm. Where were the doors?
Well, there are being real evidence for them.
But
that needn't trouble us, you see, at the minute.
We haven't really got an entrance.
It would only trouble us if we decided to build such a structure out on the island.
Mm.
Then we would have to face a whole lot of different questions. But I think in terms of an exhibition, then we don't quite have the same number of questions to address.
Mm. I think, though, from my point of view, which is not a scientific one, if there were likely to have been impressive doors, it would be nice to describe them somewhere, even if they're not described in direct relation to the structure. It would be nice to get people to pass through them somewhere, just because it's a nice idea.
Sorry,
Brian.
Bless you, mate.
Thank you
very much. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay, you're happy with the library and
everything?
You've got 2 weeks worked out.
Well, I'll wait until they finish, and then we'll start them.
How many books you have to know?
Just under the 1,200 so far. Majority of the background still. So you'll have to stop buying books, won't you?
We don't know what the doors would be like.
No.
Nope.
No.
We've got one or two doors from the continent, and they tend to be wattle structures. I think so. Wattle structures with the wattling vertically running through the door. The ones I'm thinking of, particularly the ones from Biskupin in Poland, Polska. There are those. what else have we got? Not a lot else. Certainly the hinges are going to be spigot hinges.
As you have on one of the smaller.
As what we've got on the smaller houses. In fact, the smaller house doors are exactly like the ones But whether they would wear that on a big house, I don't know. The big problem comes in simply holding the door square, which means you've almost got to have a hanging diagonal. Otherwise, it ain't going to hold the door up. What happens is it drops. Now, there's two ways of getting over that. You can either get over it without having a roller on the ground, one of the ways they do in Eastern Europe. To this very day, they'll put a little roller at the bottom of the door.
Mm.
Alternatively, you've got to put in a cross brace. As soon as you put in the cross brace, then you bugger up the whole principle of interweaving it with wattle rods. And they don't like diagonals.
Mm.
And if you're going to do that, then you're in timber framing, which means you're going to upset an awful lot of medieval people. I don't mind upsetting medieval people because I don't think they're right, in the sense that I think timber framing is something which is prehistoric, rather than anything else. If you've got a sill beam, then you've got a timber frame, in my view. And we've got lots of evidence of sill beams. But there is a man who
that stratigraphy conference. We just wanted to argue about timbering and timber framing and all the rest of it. And he goes down with the view that anything that was any kind of advanced timber work was taught by the Romans. I tend to disagree with that fundamentally. I don't see the Romans brought anything they tend to take. However.
No evidence of timber, there wouldn't be. Plank doors.
There's evidence of planks.
But not in any structured form, just planks.
Well, they're supposed to be plank walls, which in itself raises a problem. How do you fix them together at the top? Not to mention how do you fix them to each other? And is the standard idea of a little V cut and a point and lock them together like this. But evidence for that is minimal. Lots of evidence for planks, vertically set in trenches.
They're not framed or pegged onto frames or anything like that.
Impressive entrance would be.
It would be nice, wouldn't it?
Nice.
I think we've got to form one somehow, even if it's not with doors. I know our entrance is not correct. We can't actually get it.
What kind of metalwork have we got?
Gravity. <Hey? laughs>
Absolutely. You said it earlier. It's wet, rainy. post holes. They're good post holes.
Is this something for a good bit of text?
Hold on, I'll be
back. I mean, if you tell us what the evidence is, we can get something made. I mean, that's it's really going to totally depend on. If you said you wanted a carved timber door, we can get a carved timber door. Mm. If you want fabric door, metal door, finding people with the skills to do it is not the problem. It's finding the evidence and say why we want it the way we want it.
Yeah.
Only early Christian crosses. There's no sort of graffiti or iconography on those. It's later ones.
Metalwork is going to be sort of a problem for what you actually, this thing about the cauldron. I mean, do we have a cauldron? I mean, we haven't got anything.
Metal.
No, we got. I think from this site we've got one iron disc.
Purpose unknown.
And one lump of, I think we should interpret it as a plough shell or something. I can't remember.
You can imagine these people sitting there, this thinking, why are we named after this?
What was it? Some total.
Waffle iron.
But then there's crucibles. Crucibles are going on the side.
Yeah. Right, well, basically the island was used as a fusion terminal camp for both wars, in fact, and in the Second War, Gerhard Berser, who was no friend of the Nazis anyway, but in fact had been hounded out of Germany, he was interned on the island. But very quickly the Society of Antiquaries started machinating. Excavations as a way of providing recreation for the internees.
Yes.
And so large numbers of them were were moved out by train from Port Area, which is down southwest of the island, to this site, which is in the southeast. It's only about 5 or 6 miles. And he dug three of these roundhouses, and various others between about 1941 and 1942.
Pretty much in very close proximity to each other.
Yeah, but in these three roundhouses, I've looked at aerial photographs and there are others in the immediate vicinity, and in fact there's another bunch about a mile to the west, and one of them is even bigger than me.
Quick dig, find out some evidence by next time.
I mean, the island wasn't totally on its own.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I mean, well, you've got sort of typical cultures, the type sort of brooch and glass beads, which I think goes back to sort of Mir and things like that. And all sorts of other things, but.
Which they dried off and cooked their bratwursts on for lunch.
We've got special rations, haven't we? Actually, didn't it?
Well, you worked this through, didn't you?
Yeah, we
scaled it off.
On this one, we looked at
it. It must be about
4 metres.
Of course, it's a bit rough, isn't it? Well, it's not a bit rough. That's 3 metres. Mm. It rises to about 10 or 11 foot from the underside. But it's very big and shallow.
Yes, I was going to say, it's a very low.
But that's not to say that's the truth, because we don't. Do we know the length of these timbers?
No.
No.
No, I mean, that's part of
that's the only conjecture. That's the only conjecture.
Yeah.
So this is actually off his structural
drawing,
model.
Yeah.
It's not actually taking it any further than saying somebody could come and say it.
It was
a much taller structure. Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things you asking Peter earlier, and he comes up with 22 is about the minimum, 29 is sort of pretty acceptable, maximum, probably maximum actually, if you've got heavy.
And is there evidence for this sort of?
No, again, that's the other matter that came up, as Peter said earlier, you know, this.
Just got a hole, you don't know how to find it.
People fought trumpets like gold dust. And, and the beauty of this thing is everything just sort of sits down, really. And so you can have fairly simple jointing at the top, I'd have thought. Providing this sort of integrity that is kept by it being lashed together at the tops.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many imponderables. Obviously, a lot of the internal appearance depends on our interpretation of the society that gave rise to it, and the status of the people who lived in it, and so on. I do really rather like the idea of it being, for quite a small number of posh people.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. And, and yeah, it does give you some. You have a.
It's a feudal enclave, holiday homes for the rich and powerful.
Timeshare,
isn't it?
I get the last week in February.
On the Isle of Man. Just thought you were going to have good time and the Christians are coming. like knock, knock, knock on the door.
Hello, it's a collection. I'm going to make another cross flag.
Have you thought about the afterlife? Oh, just go away. I'm on the phone. Do we have, are there livestock in there or not?
We were saying that earlier and I thought Peter was saying this morning.
It's given you food for thought, though.
It certainly has, yeah. And then looking at the house this afternoon, seeing the sort of partial partitioning, I can see how that can be very effective around the edge. And I think that's perhaps where it'd be limited to, because you put your storage sort of, you've got limited head height there, so you think, storage cupboard or bed chamber or whatever. But when you've got the opportunity and this wonderful space,
especially if you're using it,
you don't want to clutter it.
I'll send you a drawing. I've got an interior drawing of a. Is Earth Lodge done in the 19th century in a big meeting, and it's stepped again to the outside, and they're all sitting, all the plebs around the outside, and then the circle of elders are in the middle in this huge structure that just looks very similar to that. That's it. I think that's Bodmer or Catherine. Sure. And you wonder whether if this is the big. Isn't this big? Isn't where people come and meet. I mean, the main family may live there, but everybody's, you've been called to the meeting. I mean, that's an intriguing thing, whether in fact they had circular buildings like the North American Indians because of the way they thought, not because they had to have them.
Yeah.
It's actually part of their culture to have round buildings.
Yeah.
I think the great thing about seeing that today is, as I say, it gives you a sense of how big this interior will look. Mm-hmm. Even though our longest dimension, although we're not the full building, is not far off. The inner ring there, without the, so you've got 9 metres, you've got, the shortest distance across there, we've got 27, nearly 30 foot. And on the long dimension, almost as wide as that one. It's a big space. But it's not as big an open space because we've got that low roof. We're going to get much more...
Yes. Seating.
Yeah. Seating's there.
Yeah, to
that. We're going to take one post through the seating so actually you can walk through that bit.
Yeah.
So that actually the roof comes right the way through. But it's that distance that way which is immensely...
Yeah.
quite rural in that light, isn't it?
Fifteen meters
of plus internals, that's 15 meters.
That's nearly as wide as that one up there.
Now it's not going to look at, well, in a funny way, it won't look as impressive in, as that one vertically, because we're not going to have that height, but you're going to look through this sea of posts. It's going to look as if it goes an immensely long way. I think all of Stephen's fears is it's not going to look big enough.
Forget that.
Shock.
Because I would imagine that, with even with 30 school children in there, that hut would still be quite a big house.
Oh, yeah.
Hall, one palace. You've got more evidence than when I had to do Northampton Great Hall. There's supposedly one of these Saxon Great Halls there.
Yeah.